This is the Georgia Guard Fence Post Podcast, quarterly edition.
Welcome, everyone, back to another episode of the Georgia National Guard Fence Post Podcast. I'm your host, Specialist Chastity Williams, and today we're going to be talking about education and what role it can play in furthering your career, your life, and goals in the military and outside as well. Today we have Colonel John Fushko. He is the commander of the 122nd Regional Training Institute, and he is also the president of Dalton State College. Sir, could you please tell us a little bit more about yourself?
First and foremost, I would say I'm, father of 12 kids, including two Georgia Army National Guardsmen. So one of our sons and one of our daughters is a part of the Guard. So that's probably one of the most important things that that I do. Also, I serve as the president of Dalton State College. And then I've been in the Georgia Army National Guard for coming on 23 years, and I currently serve as the commander of the 122nd Regiment Regional Training Institute. So I used to say if I put them all together, it kind of sounds like a gladiator introduction. You know, father of 12, president of college, commander of the 122nd. But not as many people watch the gladiator nowadays. So I guess I guess it doesn't resonate quite the same way.
So having spent decades in the Georgia education system, what trends and opportunities have you noticed for service members and oncoming service members?
Well, lots of good stuff and probably some stuff to work on as well, right? So I think on a positive end, and I think certainly particularly in the university system of Georgia, there's a real awareness of the fact that soldiers and airmen and really all of the branches of military service, they bring some really unique perspectives and maturity and commitment to the classroom, right? I think, prior to, 9/11 and everything that happened after that, the exposure to a soldier or to a military member in the classroom maybe looked a little different, right? People maybe had memories going back to Vietnam or whatever else may have been out there. There are probably some stereotypes that people may have had. But I think as this generation over this last, really 20 years has been engaged in overseas missions, and the Guard and Reserve in particular, right? And the Georgia National Guard, right, has been very constantly engaged in missions overseas and in missions in the homeland. So with that, that generation is been coming to school and going to college and furthering their education and bringing those experiences into the classroom and into their experience at college and in who they are. And so I think that the trend that I would see is there's been a lot of aha moments, a lot of openness, a lot of desire to help. And we know people coming back with things like PTSD. How can we be helpful, having an educational program tied to that, as well as services on the campus that are tied to that. On a very practical level, I would say, particularly as you look at kind of the university system as a whole, there's been a lot of policies put into place to help service members, to make sure that it's affordable and accessible and that there's options and that we're kind of talking about in a way that makes sense. There's the Yellow Ribbon programs that are done on the campuses. A lot of our institutions are, rated some of the most military-friendly institutions in the country, and that's all happening right here in Georgia. So those are all very, very positive trends that I've seen. The only trend that maybe sometimes gives me a little bit of concern is I sometimes see in the part of particularly more junior service members not using a lot of thought around where they choose to pursue their education. I think sometimes maybe because they think something is the most convenient or it's the easy answer right in front of you, and they'll say, "Well, I'm gonna go to this school, right?" But they're not checking, what does it cost, and what are the employment rates afterwards, and what are the graduation rates at the school? Like, is this really going to help transform them, their life, their family's life, which a college education can do just in the same way that military service does, right? It's a transformational experience, and it's something that they're going to be devoting maybe 4 years of their life, maybe more, to. Are they really putting in the time and effort and energy to research this and say, let me make the choice that makes the most sense for my future? So I think sometimes we tend to go with the thing that, well, this is easy to sign up for, so I'm going to go with it. I think sometimes you got to dig a little deeper on such a significant investment.
And speaking of investments, when it comes to education, what is the importance of it, and how does it tie into military life?
Yeah, it's so many levels. So I would tell you one of the things the Chancellor of the University System talks about, Chancellor Purdue, talks about the $1 million deal. And you say, well, what's that? We all want $1 million, right? The average additional income that a person with a four-year degree will make here in Georgia is an extra $1 million. That's a not as insignificant amount of money, right? And I think for a lot of us, you know, I work through school, my wife worked through school. A lot of us are in school because we want to provide for our families and provide for ourselves and improve our life and be able to better serve others. I think there's deeper reasons to go to further your education and develop who you are as a person. And we could spend all day talking about those, and maybe we should. But I would say that in addition to kind of thinking through that, that monetary investment is also an investment in your military career. There's not a promotion out there that isn't at some level tied to a system of assessment, right? It's looking at how do you do? And, you know, it can be how did you do on the Army Combat Fitness Test? How did you do on your individual weapons qualification? How did you do on your performance evaluations, on your NCOER, on your OER, on your fitness reports, and so on? But almost, in fact, every one of them that I'm aware of also looks at your military education and your civilian education.
How does your military education differ from civilian education?
Some ways they do and some ways they don't, right? So I've been fortunate in the course of my career, two of my master's degrees are actually from military institutions. I have one from the U.S. Army War College, and I have one from the National Intelligence University. And so I kind of compare and contrast what was my experience there with, say, Command General Staff College, or say with my what they call at the time MIOBC Officer Basic Course, now BOLIC. I think with all of them, there's actually a lot of crossover. So military is very focused on training, right? So we're teaching you how to do something. Your advanced military education, as well as your civilian education, is oftentimes teaching you how to think about something, how to communicate around something. It may not be teaching you how to move, you know, this thing from point A to point B, but it will teach you all the skills you need to figure that out yourself, but also figure out why are you moving it from point A to point B? What is it that you're actually trying to do? What is it that that you're trying to accomplish, so you can think critically? And that's where I think that kind of critical thinking skills, thinking about history, thinking about the ethics and morality of an issue, thinking through the real reason why you're doing it, all of those things, I think, kind of come together in education. Good military education, good civilian education, they merge together to help people really become better leaders in the military as well as in the rest of their lives.
Okay. So what is what roles and opportunities did education play in your career path?
Well, many. Certainly as a college president, education is what we do, and we hopefully practice what we preach. And so I started out, I got my undergrad at Kennesaw State. I did an MBA at Georgia State. I already mentioned the two master's degrees from the War College and the Intelligence University, and then a doctorate in education from the University of Georgia. One thing I like to kind of share about that is four of those five were paid for at some level by the Army. So my doctorate was paid for through the Forever GI Bill. My MBA was paid for largely through tuition assistance, and the War College and the Strategic Intelligence degree were actually, Army schools where the Army paid for all of it and paid to send me off to school, right? So it's been a huge part of growing as a person and growing as a leader. Very specifically in the military, for officers, you have to complete certain levels of education, right? You have to be, obviously you have to be qualified through your military education, but if you are in a spot where you're going to be competitive for more senior officer positions, the fact that you have a master's degree and the fact that you have a terminal degree is a, you know, a factor that weighs in your favor.
Is there a specific route for officers?
There's a lot of routes for officers. I'm a little biased right now because, of course, I have the OCS under my command, so I love OCS. But I am an ROTC commissionee myself. Interestingly for me, I actually finished my ROTC while I was in graduate school. So I was a cadet while I was also a full-time employee for the state, married, kids, getting my MBA and earning my commission in the Guard. And I found that was an incredibly beneficial route. I think you really have to think through what is it that you can sustain, because they all produce quality officers. If you invest your time into that process, you invest your time into what you're being taught, you will come out a quality officer. It's really what tends to be the biggest issue, I think, for people isn't so much that as much as the fact that life can get in the way. And in the Guard, look, you've got multiple priorities. You've got your family, you've got work, you've got, you know, civilian school. If you're an ROTC, you're probably enrolled, right? You're an undergraduate, you're in a master's program. And now you've got this fourth thing on top of it, right? You've got your Guard duty, you've got this officer training that you're pursuing. So I think you've got to figure out what makes sense for you. ROTC tends to be a four-year or at least a two-year process. If you're prior service, you can come in and sign up for your last 2 years of ROTC. And so that kind of works. But if you've already got your undergraduate degree, you've already got maybe a graduate degree, does it make a whole lot of sense to go back for another degree just to do ROTC? Probably not. It probably makes more sense to do OCS. So you just got to kind of do the one that you can finish.
That definitely makes sense.
Yeah.
Trying to help balance out that workload, school, home, family,
right.
Social, et cetera.
All the above.
With the rise of debt as well as, you know, cost of living and cost of education, are there any programs or scholarships out there for students and those looking to get back into, you know, school?
Yeah, absolutely. So first off, I would share, if you're a member of the Georgia Guard, doesn't matter if you live in Georgia, don't live in Georgia, just move to Georgia. You're a member of the Georgia Guard, you can go to any university system or Georgia institution and you pay in-state tuition. And in-state tuition is incredibly affordable. I'll share you my school. Full-time tuition and fees is $1,962 a semester. That means you can get a four-year degree for under $16,000. Think about that, right? A lot of people, I think a lot of folks get scared off from school because they hear about, oh my gosh, people are going into tens and tens of thousands of dollars in debt. They're paying $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year for school. If you're doing that as a member of the Georgia Guard, you're probably not, you're doing something wrong. Right? You're not living right at that point. You can absolutely pursue world-class quality education right here in the state of Georgia for a much, much reduced sort of, you know, tuition and fees of what you might be hearing out there, you know, kind of in the public sphere on the radio or what have you. So I would say, first off, take advantage of the resources we have in the state and university system as well as in the technical college system of Georgia. Second off, if you are a Georgia resident, you meet the qualifications, you probably have access to HOPE, right? Which, you know, whether it's the Zell Miller Scholarship or the HOPE Scholarship or the HOPE Grant will cover a vast, vast majority of those costs, particularly if you maintain that GPA and that you know, which you're more than capable of doing. There's not a soldier out there, in my view, they can get through basic and they get through AIT, they've graduated high school, they can absolutely be successful in college, right? But then thinking through, you've got tuition assistance, you have the service counselable loan, you have the GI Bill, depending on, you know, how you came in or how you enlisted. There's the Georgia Military Scholarship. There's, you know, other ROTC. There's the Minuteman Scholarship that the Georgia Guard offers. There's, if you're going to school as a Georgia Guardsman and you're shelling out thousands of dollars a semester or even a year, my guess is you're probably doing something wrong because there's so many options out there that are available that if you're planning to continue your service and you're willing to do that, you can absolutely make it work.
Majority of us probably have heard of the service cancelable loan, but I've never heard of the Minuteman Scholarship. So
yep.
Can you tell us a little bit more about both?
Yeah, so the service counselable loan, of course, is as I understand, it's kind of tied as a last dollar sort of, if you don't have other aid, right? So it's the point isn't to have you borrow a bunch of money. The point is, you know, when you've got some stuff that isn't being covered and now you need to borrow to cover the rest, you're eligible for that. The service counselable loan, which basically means you borrow the money as long as you stay in school and you maintain your guard commitment over a period of time, that loan is essentially paid off on your behalf. You're not making payments on that loan, which is a great program. The Minuteman Scholarship is a scholarship for enlisted National Guard soldiers. I believe it's available for airmen as well, but it's for those who would be, for example, in a college program, going through, you know, they've applied to become a part of ROTC, they're transitioning over to become an ROTC cadet, and they get paid, I think it's $5,000 a semester that is available for that. That can go towards their tuition, their fees, their room and board, their books, you know, whatever it is that they need. And of course, there's a commitment that when they finish, that then they'll commission into the National Guard, which they're already in it, right? They're already enlisted in it, but it is for those who are who have gone through basic, gone through AIT, that they become eligible for it.
How can service members and those looking to join the National Guard get more information? Who can we reach out to get information?
Well, there's always, you know, goguard.com, I think, is the correct URL for that, even though, I mean, nowadays everybody's just going to Google it, right, and say Georgia National Guard Education, and I think you'll probably get a list of things that will show up. But, you know, our recruiting retention battalion, any of our National Guard recruiters, Army or Air, they know this stuff inside and out. This is their bread and butter. This is kind of what they do, just like an artillery soldier knows how to operate an artillery piece. I think our recruiting retention soldiers, this is their equivalent of their crew served weapon. This is the equivalent of their artillery rounds, is being able to explain and facilitate people who want to join the Guard, making sure that they get those educational benefits. One of the things that sets us apart as a military is the fact that we, whether it's our junior enlisted, it's our NCOs, it's our officers, all of them, the U.S. military has recognized for a long time, we're going to be more effective at fighting and winning the nation's wars and protecting the homeland if we have an educated members of our military at all levels. Maybe once upon a time there was this thought of, well, the officers go get their education and our soldiers and NCOs, you know, they just need to take orders. That went the way of the dodo bird many, many, many decades ago, right? Because we've learned that to effectively fight in a war, we need everybody to be thinking. We need everybody kind of taking themselves to the full point of where they can be, which means we need everybody educated in that program, and they've invested in it. So once again, if you're in the Guard or you're thinking about joining the Guard and you're interested in it partially because of the educational benefits, I'm here to tell you they are legion. They are many, and our R&R folks are probably some of the best folks to help you take advantage of that. We, of course, have an educational services office within the Georgia Guard that once you're in, it will be a big part of helping to facilitate that as well.
So what can leaders do to make soldiers and airmen aware?
Yeah, you know, so I'll get on my soapbox for a minute. I think there's a couple of things. First off, I think invite University System of Georgia, invite Technical College System institutions to come speak to your units. Some of the, there are some, you know, other educational entities out there from outside the state, and I'm not knocking anybody from outside the state, but I'm a Georgian, I'm a proud Georgian, and I'd kind of love it if you went to a Georgia school. And I would tell you, though, sometimes the schools outside the state, you see them having a presence at a drill weekend. We've got great USG institutions and technical college system institutions all around the state of Georgia. They're close to every armory probably that we have out there in the inventory. Invite those folks to come talk to the soldiers or the airmen on a given weekend. I think that's one really easy thing to do. I'm going to tell you about the little harder thing to do, but it's the most rewarding. And that's counseling, right? So as leaders, we ought to be counseling our soldiers, counseling our subordinates, right? And that starts at the top and it works all the way down. And one of the things that I do going through this process of sitting down and saying, all right, what's your plan? What's your 20-year plan? What's your educational plan? What's your military educational plan? What's the life plan? How does this figure in with everything else you've got going on, right? Maybe we shouldn't plan for you to go off to graduate school or get your undergrad when you're focused on, you know, teaching your kids little league team like that. Maybe we need to think through all of those timing pieces, right? But I think leaders have a responsibility to sit down with their subordinates, with their officers, with their soldiers, and have those conversations throughout the unit and help them think through it. You know, I've been there, I've done that. Let me now help somebody else get there and do that, right? I think if they do that and it's just basic leading as an officer, leading as an NCO, beautiful things will happen.
So what piece of advice would you give junior soldiers and airmen?
You can do it. You belong here. You belong in college. It will pay off in the long run. But as I said at the beginning, you're worth putting the time and the resources into thinking, really thinking about where do I want to go. Don't go for the easiest thing out there. Don't go for, well, this seems like this is super flexible and I don't have to do a whole bunch of... No, go for what's going to challenge you a little bit, right? If sometimes we do this thing where somebody's given us something, we tend to spend a little more less time looking at it than if we're paying for it ourselves. Even if the military is paying for your civilian education, pretend like you're paying for it. So would you go spend $5,000 a year, $10,000 a year on something and not really research it and not really figure out if it's the right answer for you based on what you want to do? No. Probably wouldn't do that, right?
Got to think long term.
So do the same thing when it comes to your education. It's an investment in you in a way that almost nothing else that you do will be.
Me personally, I'm looking to get back into school, and I know what I want to do. It transferred first from the military to the civilian side, which is public affairs.
Yep.
Now, if someone is in my position or a similar position, what's their first step?
I would say my first step would be, what is it I'm looking to be able to do in terms of my time? Like, are you wanting to go to school full-time, or you want to go to school part-time? You want to go to school in the evening? You're like going to go all in for 2 years and overload on your courses, right? So just kind of, you know, you kind of take stock of what's in your rucksack before you go on a hike, right? So kind of taking stock of what is it that you're wanting to do in that respect, right? So that's kind of first. Because there's some programs, like if you want to go into communications, which is usually the major that's going to be associated with public affairs, you know, there's some programs that are going to be predominantly like focus on full-time, in-person sort of experiences. There's going to be others that are going to be more part-time driven. There might be within that, though, somewhere you might have one institution that their communications is really focused on, you know, TV broadcasting, TV journalism, right? Another might be focused more on digital media. Another one might be focused more on traditional print media. So you kind of want to just be a little bit thoughtful about what is it that you maybe want to do with it long term, and what is it, how do you want to experience your education? And then that can then tell you, okay, what do I want to go do with this? You might want to go off, you know, if you want to be in public affairs, you know, you might want to go off, you know, if you want to be a journalist, for example, you might want to go to University of Georgia. Mm-hmm. But how does that fit to go and kind of go to Athens, live there, and is that fit within your life and so on and so forth? You also might say, hey, I want to go to Kennesaw State, right? If you're right here in Cobb County, that is it's my undergraduate alma mater. I'm a little biased, but that's a great institution. But you may also say, you know what, I'm in a different stage of life. I want to go up and have the experience up in Dalton. We'd love to have you up in Dalton. We have a communications major. So you just have to kind of think through, what does that look like? Where do you want to go with this? What is it that you're looking to get out of it? And then from there, the easy way is you kind of go to USG degrees and majors. You can Google that. You can go to Georgia Degrees Pay. It's probably going to be the best one, honestly, to go to is Georgia Degrees Pay. And it will tell you kind of, you can compare, all right, for this major at these institutions, here's the average debt, here's the average salary. When you're finishing up, you know, when you're graduating, what is the average salary coming out for that? You know, what's the cost, et cetera, and so on and so forth. So Georgia Degrees Pay is probably one of the best options for that. To look through for those different careers and so on.
And regardless of your MOS or your job title in the military, there's something out there for you.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, the cool thing is that through the Joint Service Transcript, I think is what they call it, there's usually most people's basic and AIT as well as your NCOES, parts of that count towards college credit. So, you know, you gotta kind of find the right fit for the right program, but sometimes you can kind of knock out a semester or more sometimes that would cover down on some of your requirements for your degree. So you don't necessarily, you don't always have to think, oh, this is a 4-year deal. You know, I'm only going to finish in 4 years. No, sometimes you can finish much sooner.
It's just a matter of, are you willing to invest?
Yes. Yeah. Invest, you got to do a little research and talk to the admissions office at the schools you're thinking about going to, get in with the advisor. You know, the institutions are usually, we're falling all over ourselves to put as many resources out there as we can for incoming students. Sometimes, particularly younger students who maybe aren't quite as wise to the ways of the world, like, oh, I don't need to talk to anybody. It's like, no, even if you're smart, you need to, right? So, you know, as a soldier, you get an orientation, right? I mean, if it's the first thing you do is, where am I going? Let me orient myself to the environment that I'm working in. You need to do the same thing in higher ed. Take advantage of those resources that are there, so you kind of understand the lay of the land and what can you get involved in when you're at school. What courses should you take first? You know, because there's a major courses that you've got to take, but then there's your core, and the core is really important, right? The core is fundamental to really preparing you to be successful in college and in life and your career. So what's the right mix and balance of that, right? So there's advisors, there's folks who will help you with that all day long. All you got to do is ask.
All righty. Thank you, sir, for stopping by and sharing those pearls of wisdom. Thanks for tuning in, and check us out next time on the next episode of the Quarterly Podcast on your favorite streaming platform.